Good morning and welcome to this service of worship from La Trobe United Presbyterian Church. We're located at 340 Spring Street in La Trobe, Pennsylvania. I'm John Simpson, the interim pastor here. Today is a special day in the life of the church. The first Sunday of October has for many, many years been World Communion Sunday. That Sunday in which we join with Christians around the world gathering at our Lord's table to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. World Communion Sunday was begun in 1948, when, after World War II, it was decided to set apart this one Sunday to focus on reconciliation among the peoples of the world after that horrendous war and all of the things that had happened in it. It's a wonderful tradition that has continued down to this day. I invite you to join with me as we sing and as we pray. During our time together, I will in fact read the words of institution and the appropriate passages that go with our Lord's Supper. Even though you aren't sitting here in the sanctuary with me today, I invite you to feast on these words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and receive them to strengthen you, to nourish you, and to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. I also invite you and encourage you to find a church this Sunday if you are able, and go and celebrate this sacrament in person with some of the other Christians who are around you. So having said all of that, let us worship God. Friends, this is the joyous feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is our Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. When the risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Let us worship together. Now will you join together in singing? Will you join in sharing in this hymn that was sung here at La Trobe United Presbyterian Church some time ago? Let us pray together. Almighty God, we bear your image, and we are yours. And yet we have been a divided family, not doing right by each other, wrapped up in our own concerns, often walking away from the needs of others. So now, Lord, as we come to your holy table, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your power to mend our ways. and to affirm each other in love. Lord God, as we worship together today, have mercy on us and forgive us, we pray. Amen. The first scripture lesson, actually the scripture lesson this morning, is in two parts. It consists of the first 35 verses of the 10th chapter of Acts. It's divided into two parts, a first lesson and a second lesson. This lesson is verses 1 through 16. It is the story of Cornelius and Peter. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all of his family were devout. They were God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him was gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened, and he sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice said to him, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat." "Surely not," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything that is impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure or unclean that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then immediately the sheet was taken up into heaven. Amen. Now listen to this hymn that was sung recently here at Lake Trobe United Presbyterian Church.
Thank you.
second part of this lesson is the story continued. When Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Well, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the man, "I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all of the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter said to him, "Get up, stand up, for I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large crowd of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against the law for a Jew to associate with Gentiles or to visit them. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. And so when I was sent for, I came without raising any objections. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembers your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began speaking. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts everyone from every nation, everyone who fears him and who does what is right." Amen. Today we are talking about favorites. Indeed, the topic of this communion meditation is God's favorites. Let's talk today about favorites and favoritism. What or who are your favorites? What are your favorites? What is your favorite food? What is your favorite ice cream? What is your favorite cake? What is your favorite fruit? What is your favorite kind of pie? What is your favorite movie? Do you have one? And your favorite TV program? Is there a book that you read some time ago or that you are currently reading that is your all-time favorite? Do you have a favorite song? Do you have a favorite movie? Do you have a favorite musician or musical group? What or who are your favorites? What's your favorite car? Think back across your life. What's your favorite car? What make, what model, what year? What is your favorite store to shop for groceries in? How about clothes? Do you have a favorite shirt? Do you have a favorite old coat? Do you have a favorite dress? Or a favorite outfit? While we're talking about favorites, let's get a little bit churchy here. Do you have a favorite hymn? Above all the hymns in the hymnal, do you have a favorite hymn? Do you have a favorite Bible story? Do you have a favorite place to sit in church? Do you have a favorite scripture passage? What are your favorites? Let's move on to who your favorites are. Who is your favorite friend? Who is your favorite neighbor? When you go into the store and you look down the line of all those cash registers open, do you have a favorite clerk that you like to go to? Who was your favorite teacher in school? And who is your favorite coworker? Let's move on from people. Let's move on from people to some of our favorite things. What is your favorite meal? Oh, what is your favorite meal? What is your favorite drink? What is your favorite leisure time activity? What is your favorite time to go to bed at night? And what is your favorite time to get up in the morning? To have favorites means to be liked, to be favored means to be liked better than others, to be loved more passionately than others, to be regarded more highly than others, to be favored above all others. Let me say that again, because it's important. To be favored means to be liked above all others. What are some of your favorite people? And what are some of your favorite things? To have favorites is a very natural human tendency. In spite of the fact that Baskin-Robbins has 31 different flavors, at least that's what they had the last time I checked, despite the fact that they have all of those flavors, you could take me to Baskin-Robbins 100 times, and I am always going to order chocolate ice cream. Because chocolate is my favorite. Why would I want to eat bubblegum ice cream or baseball nut ice cream when I can have a wonderful dish of chocolate ice cream? You see, chocolate ice cream is my favorite. I favor it above all others. I like it more passionately. I regard it more highly than all others. It's my favorite. To have favorites is a natural human tendency. But how about God? How about God? Does God have favorites as well? Does God regard some people more highly than others? Does God love some of us more passionately than others? Does God favor some people above all others? Do you think God has favorites as well? I went into a friend's church recently and sat down in his study, his office, and on the end table by where I was sitting, there was a cute little coaster on the table. It says, "Jesus loves me," or "Jesus loves you, Jesus loves us." Let me start over again. The coaster says, "Jesus loves us, but I'm his favorite." Does God have favorites as well? Well, that brings us to the scripture passages this morning. The wonderful story of Simon Peter and Cornelius the centurion. Peter saw that sheet come down from heaven, and in that sheet, if you can just imagine, were all kinds of animals. Now, the Jewish people had all kinds of rules and regulations, all kinds of laws against eating certain things. We know that to this day. They didn't eat pork. They didn't eat certain kinds of animals. Read your Old Testament and you'll see what the rules and the regulations were. Well, this sheet came down from heaven in Peter's dream, and on this sheet were all kinds of animals. It says that there were animals and reptiles and birds of the air. Let your imagination run wild. All of the things that you and I would not want to eat, let alone a Jewish person like Simon Peter, who had been raised with all of these rules about clean and unclean food. And the voice of God said to him, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat." Peter said, "Oh, Lord, these things are unclean. I can't begin. I know the rules. I know the regulations. Don't ask me to do what is against the law of the Old Testament." And the voice of the Lord said to him, "Don't call anything that I have called clean unclean." Well, the second thing that happened was he was called to the home of a Gentile. Wow. Cornelius, a Roman soldier, hated by the Jews for their oppression by the Roman government of the Jewish people. He was called to the home of this Gentile. And God said to him, "Go ahead and go." Peter answered the call. He was forbidden by the law to go into the home of a Gentile, and yet Peter went to Cornelius' house. He went to Cornelius' house not to just speak with this one Gentile, but to speak with a house full of Gentiles. And Peter went in, and he told them what God had done in Christ, and they were converted. Peter said to them, quote, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts everyone from every nation who fears him and who does what is right." God accepts everyone. God accepts all those who fear him and who try to do what's right. The word fear is better translated reverent awe. God shows no favoritism but accepts everyone who lives in reverent awe of God. It is not the emotional, painful apprehension that one would feel going down a dark alley in the middle of the night, but rather it is a reverent awe of seeing God's experience and experiencing the presence of Almighty God. As I said, Peter shared his story of Jesus. And those who heard it believed, and they were baptized into the faith. Wow. Imagine what would have happened. Imagine the people who would have been lost if Peter had stuck by his guns and said, no, we who are the Jews, we are the chosen people, we will have nothing to do with these Gentiles. And Cornelius and his family would have been lost. God shows no favoritism. Peter said, I now realize that it is true that God does not show favoritism, but accepts everyone from every nation who fears him and who does what is right. How amazing this whole, put yourself just for a minute in the shoes of Simon Peter. Put yourself in for just a moment in the shoes of Simon Peter. How amazing this whole event must have been for Peter. Born a Jew, raised a Jew, grew up as a Jew, matured as a Jew, a Jewish man. Suddenly being called by God to minister to those who were unacceptable, to those who were outside the Jewish faith. How amazing this whole event must have been to Simon Peter. So what are the implications of this event for me and for you today? What are the implications of this event in our lives today in 2021? Well, for one thing, it removes some of our pride. It removes some of our pride while we are loved, while we are accepted by God, God has no favoritisms. It's not us that's his favorites. All who have reverent awe of God and do what is right, God accepts. It removes our pride. But it also, just as importantly, or maybe as importantly, or maybe as a result of our pride being removed, it helps us to see others. It helps us to see the downtrodden. It helps us to see the downtrodden and the unclean, quote, unclean of this world. It helps us to see these people through the eyes of Jesus, who shows no favoritism, but who accepts all who show reverent awe of him and who try to do what's right. And finally, the implication is this. The final implication is this. That when we dare to show the love and the acceptance of Christ to those around us, God works in powerful ways in their lives as well. When we share the Jesus story, when we share the Jesus story, it has the power to save others. Not our words, but through our words, God is able to act in the lives of others to bring people into a living faith and a life of relationship with him. And so, on this World Communion Sunday, on this day when our world is so shattered by divisions, by hatred, by war, by rumors of war, we come to our Lord's table to give thanks to our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for his goodness. And we come to this table today praying for peace and reconciliation within the world, within our nation, and within the nations of this world. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you don't show favoritism, but you love all who live in awe of you and fear of you and who try to do what's right. Lord, we thank you for your love and your forgiveness of us, for we ourselves are weak and willful people. Lord, as we gather around your table today, we pray that you would bless these elements, this bread and this cup, that in them we may see the love, the extent of your love for us, that you would go to the cross, that you would shed your blood and give up your life, that we might know your love for us and for all your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen to these words of communion. Listen to these words of Jesus. Beloved in the Lord, hear what gracious words our Savior says to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all you who that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he that believes in me will never thirst. He who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Let us reverently attend to the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered to us by the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Drink of it, all of you. Let us pray together, and let us just have a couple of moments of silent prayer in which you can approach God with your hopes and your dreams, your fears and your desires. Let us pray together. Lord, hear the prayers of your sons and daughters. Lord, forgive us for our failings and our sins. Lord, hear our needs respond to our fears, encourage us in our discouragement, and help us to find joy and peace in the lives that you have given to us. Lord, make us your faithful servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us share together in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Let us go into the world in peace, and may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.